Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read one verse together, and then we'll read some more afterwards. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. And let's read together, shall we? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I'm going to talk to you this morning what I consider probably the most important subject you will ever hear as a Christian. And that is that the King James Bible is the inspired word of God. The first statement in Scripture that quotes Satan is his doubting the word of God. Everything in your life will be impacted by what you believe about the book that you hold in your hand, the King James Bible. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for being such a wonderful God. Lord, truly, you have been merciful and gracious to us. You have been forgiving and long-suffering. I thank you, dear God, that you have preserved forever your love letter for us, so that one day someone could share the good news, the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and so that we could trust you to be our Savior. I thank you, Lord, for the day that we trusted you. I thank you, dear God, that you allowed and you, in your providence, preserved your very words in the Word of God so that we could hear it, so that we could have it even today. I pray, dear God, that this will be a help, dear Holy Spirit of God. I pray people listening intently, help us not to be distracted or to be a distraction this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Even though I've preached a few sermons about the King James Bible in the past, I thought it best at this time to preach this sermon this morning because of its importance. I'm going to ask everyone to pay as close attention as you possibly can. I'm not overstating what I'm saying about the importance of this sermon. Literally, think back. When is the last time you ever heard me say this is the most important subject you will ever hear? I've talked about a lot of subjects from this pulpit. I've taught a lot of sermons or Bible studies, but I cannot think of any more important subject than what I'm going to be speaking about today. A lady gave me a gospel tract in 1978. I was 21 years old. I was in school at the time. And thank God, it was a King James Bible gospel tract. And she took the book of Romans from the King James Bible and showed me what God said about salvation and about eternity. And I am thankful beyond degree, beyond explanation, that she had a King James Bible that she showed me how to be saved. After I got saved, I did not know the importance about the King James Bible. In 1979, I went to a bookstore and I purchased a different perversion, the New American Standard, not knowing the difference at the time. And so for the next year or two, I started reading a perversion instead of the King James Bible. And because of that, some things in my life were not clear, and I did not learn some truths until I came to the understanding that God preserved his word forever. Now, this may be new to some of you, maybe most of you, maybe some of you have heard this thing before. If you have always believed that the King James Bible is the inspired word of God, good. Stay that way. You don't have to worry about it, amen? Don't get any smarter than that. But most of us didn't know that, and most of us didn't understand the importance of what I'm going to say this morning. And all I'm going to ask you is just be patient and listen to everything I got to say. There's no way I can preach all of what I have here this morning, but I'm going to try to get through at least a third, if not a half of what I have to say. But I am as serious as I can that we live in an immature society that is addicted to videos, cartoons, and cinema-producing effects. And so we're easily bored if somebody is just speaking or preaching on an important subject, and it's hard to keep our concentration. And I understand that because that's a society that we live in. We're addicted and used to to all these pop-up videos and to get something to grab our attention. You're going to have to force yourself to pay attention for about 25 or 30 minutes this morning to what I'm going to say. Because it may seem to be boring, and I don't want it to be boring. I'm going to repeat again. This is the most important subject you will ever hear in your entire Christian life. Everything in your entire life, in your entire Christian life, will directly be impacted by what you believe about what I'm going to be teaching this morning about the King James Bible. I am not teaching this morning that the Bible is the Word of God. I want to make that very clear. That is almost understood by the vast majority of God's people that, yes, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. The question comes, which is the Bible? Or what is the Bible? Because when I say Bible, everybody from different walks of Christianity and different persuasions and different denominations will say, well, yeah, I have a Bible like I did. I had the New American Standard Version in 1979 and 1980, and I thought that was a Bible. Just because a publisher who is out to make money printed the Holy Bible on it, I took their word for it. Because my pastor in a Baptist church used three different perversions from the pulpit, and each of them had the words Holy Bible on it, I took his word for it. Well, for those of you who have not read your Bible enough, you're going to be shocked to learn that religious people lie to you. Pastors lie to you. Because God says the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, we think that's just for politicians, or we think that's for the atheists. We think that's for the sodomite crowd. We think that's for the wicked. But that statement is true for everybody. And God says the love of money is the root of all evil. And too often, we make very important life-changing decisions based only on money. That's not right. And you're going to suffer only if you choose and make a decision based upon money only, you're going to suffer. You should make your decisions based on God's word. Now, getting into this, I've always said that the most important thing you can do, as I said in the adult Bible study this morning, is win people to Jesus Christ. There is no other function, no other activity in your entire life that is more important than winning people to Jesus Christ. Just like I got saved, just like you got saved, my job and your job is try to win other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing you'll ever do. The most important thing that you will ever believe is that this book is the Word of God. If you have a King James Bible, the most important thing you will believe is that this book is the very Word of God. And I'm going to try to explain that starting this week in this series. First, I'm going to try just a little common sense. If you were to send your child to school to learn math, and your child came back and told you that the teacher said that the numeral 3 and the numeral 4 and the numeral 5 are all the same numbers, that it doesn't matter what number we put down on any equation, that they're all the right answer, you would think either your child is lying to you or your child is trying to pull a joke on you. If you ever found out that the teacher was actually teaching that 3 and 4 and 5 are all the same, it doesn't matter what number you put down in the equation, then you would probably do your best to either get that teacher dismissed or send your child to a different school or homeschool that child. You would go to the principal or you would go to the superintendent and you would report it. If the principal or the superintendent told you, well, this is the new math today, and the teacher is teaching the correct curriculum, then the question is, what would you do at that point? Would you go along with it because the professionals, the one who sanctioned the errors and the lies, who are teaching this curriculum, said that it was okay? What would you do at that point if you knew that your child was being taught errors and lies? Well, let me just, as a side statement, they are teaching lies if they don't believe that God created you, number one. All right? That's for sure. But I'm coming down to this example here about numerals right now. We're just picking out 3, 4, and 5 that obviously are different numerals. But let's say your teacher, that your son or your daughter's teacher is teaching them that they're all the same. What would you do at that point? Would you let them sit in that classroom? And would you let that teacher teach your children that 3 is the same as 4, and 4 is the same as 5, and thus 3 is the same as 5? It doesn't matter what number you put down in any answer for any math problem. Well, ladies and gentlemen, any first or second grader understands the logic that says that is wrong and that's an error. It would be, you would think, the parents' fault for not caring enough to find out if it is true that their children are being taught an error. And it would be the fault of the parent if they didn't do anything to change it, either change schools, change teachers, or change the curriculum. And I'm afraid to say this, but the government public schools are being more honest in teaching wrong stuff than religious people are in teaching the Word of God. Let me repeat that statement. Unsaved, heathen government schools are honestly teaching the errors and the lies to students today. And they're honestly doing that. They're showing what their curriculum is. But religious people are absolutely lying through their teeth when it comes to the Word of God. And yet God's people are more concerned about what the public schools are teaching than what God's people are being taught. Again, let me read back up. Just because a publisher who is out to make money prints the words Holy Bible on black leather does not mean it's the Holy Bible. They're out to make a buck. They're out to make merchandise of you. I didn't know this the first couple years I got saved, but I learned it very quickly afterwards. One of the most important things you will ever find out in your life is, where is the Word of God? I understand that the lost folks, whether they're religious or non-religious, whether they're atheists or agnostic, who do not subscribe to Christianity, they disregard the Bible as the Word of God. At least they're being honest about it. You and I get too upset with the devil's crowd because they're honest. But yet when it comes to God's people, we like flippantly let it go or don't say anything because, you know, we don't want to be too critical about religious leaders and ministers and reverends and pastors and evangelists and missionaries or any other public speaker that is speaking lies to God's people. And then we get mad at somebody who proffers up an argument like I'm doing this morning. So I'm going to ask you to hear me out this morning until the very end. The subject this morning is not to lost people. The subject today is squarely aimed at God's people who proclaim to be born again, who claim to have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior to save them from hell. To those religious people who claim to be a child of God because of some experience or some vision or some dream or some circumstance in life, this subject is not for you. You need to be born again according to the Word of God. You're not saved by a dream or a vision or some feelings or some emotions. You're saved by trusting Jesus Christ because of what God said, that you realize you're a sinner deserving to go to hell to pay for your sins, and you're going to be there forever, and only Jesus Christ can save your soul because only Jesus died in your place to pay for your sins. Those are the people I'm talking to this morning. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I want you to listen up to what I have to say this morning, okay? I'm going to try to be as gentle and kind as I can, but I'm going to be as straightforward as I possibly can, because the rest of your life depends on what you believe about the book that I'm talking about this morning. So when I say this sermon is aimed at God's people, that's exactly what I mean. Those who have genuinely received Christ as their Savior according to the Scripture. So here we go. I want you to remember this statement. We have a book in our bookstore back here, authored by Mickey Carter, pastor of Landmark Baptist Church in Florida. And it's named something like, Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. Now, you would think that's logical, common sense. Things that are different are not the same. But in today's day and age, in God's people, logic has gone out the window, ladies and gentlemen. For some reason, maybe we've been hanging around charismatics and Pentecostals too much, but we've allowed emotion and feelings to surpass logical thinking. Anyone who tells you that any other English version is the Word of God outside the King James Bible is either lying to you or does not know the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to show you why I say that this morning. You ought to ask yourself the simple question. If all these so-called Bible versions are different from each other, and all of them are different, there's 200 plus different, they call them versions, I call them perversions, and they're all different from one another. If all these 200 versions are different, how can they all be the same? Look, if you don't think your marriage is that important, then don't listen to what I got to say. If you don't think your finances are important, don't worry about it, because this book that I held in my hand is going to impact every single area of your life. Your finances, your health, your marriage, your relationships, your goals in life, everything you think about, everything you do. When you change the words and you change the verses that are completely contrary to what God says, you're going to mess up your life, because you're not going to have what God would want you to have in your life. They cannot all be the same book if they're all different. How can they all be the Bible? Not just because a publisher says so is not good enough for me. He's out to make money. That does not give me enough assurance that a money-making business is going to be honest enough to give me the pure Word of God without any mistakes or contradictions or errors. Remember, 1 Timothy 6:10 says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not most, not some, but all evil. If the words in one book are not the same as the words in another book, how can those two books be the same? If two books are different, how can they then both be the Word of God? Even unsaved people are honest enough and intelligent enough to understand that truth, and they sit there and laugh at, mock at God's people with all these different versions. The Muslims are doing that. They have one version, but they're looking at Christianity and saying, man, you got all different, you don't even know what you believe. And they're right. We're too immature to admit our fault. If you look at Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1, the serpent, that's Satan, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. The first mention of Satan speaking in Scripture, the very first statement, he casts doubt on the very Word of God. So he comes to Eve, and the first thing he does, he plants a seed of doubt in Eve's mind about what God said. And he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Here's what Satan said, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, those are five words. Satan only added one word. What's the difference between 4 and 5? Yeah, in the new math, it really doesn't matter, does it? But with God, everything matters. And when you add the word not, you completely reverse the meaning of God has said. Because if you look in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 16, verse number 18 rather, no. Yeah, verse number 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, look at these four words, thou shalt surely die. Satan takes the exact same four words, but he puts the word not in between to completely contradict everything God told Eve. Just added one word. Just one word changed the meaning of that verse. And so guess what? Adam and Eve believed Satan. Created by God, taught of God not to eat of the fruit, but they disobeyed God because Satan comes, and the first thing he did was cast doubt on the very words of God. And by the way, that's why America's suffering today. Look, it's not the atheist's fault America's going down the tube. It's not the agnostics. It's God's people. It's God's people who do not care to take a stand for what they believe or even study it to find out. Because our society has gotten so far away from being self-supporting and from being independent farmers, we have slowly but surely fallen into the trap of believing whatever anyone tells us or whatever anyone prints on a label without even delving into whether the subject is true or not for fear of offending someone. When's the last time you asked a doctor for a second opinion? When's the last time you asked a lawyer for a second opinion? When's the last time you asked a religious person for a second opinion? Do you ever see how they bristle? So, you mean you don't believe me? You don't want to take my word for it? Well, that's why God has preserved his word forever for every single individual, so you can find out what God said, not take the word of a religious leader, Catholic or Baptist. I want to know what the truth is. I don't want to know what a professional says. He's getting paid to be an expert and a professional. He's living a high life. I want to know what God says because I'm concerned about my marriage, my 6 children, my 10 grandchildren, who knows how many more I'm going to have in the future. I'm concerned about being the right kind of pastor. I want to know what kind of church I should go to. I'm concerned about my finances. I'm concerned about investment. I'm concerned about work. I'm concerned about my health. And God says all these things and more about every single aspect of my life. If you get the wrong textbook, you're going to have the wrong answers, as you're about to find out this morning. So, even though Billy Graham has said he doesn't think there's real fire in hell, so-called religious people still like him. Listen, if the Pope likes Billy Graham, that fact alone is good enough for me not to like Billy Graham. If you like John MacArthur or Charles Stanley or any of these other popular evangelicals, you need to hear what I'm going to say this morning. And be forewarned, you may not like what you're about to hear, but you need to hear it. We were an old-fashioned church before you walked in, and we'll be an old-fashioned church when you walk out. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter, chapter number 2, please. Here's our Bible study. 2 Peter, chapter number 2. This sermon this morning is only going to be 3.5 hours long. In about maybe 5 segments. 2 Peter, chapter number 2. Over the next 5 weeks, probably. 2 Peter, chapter number 2. What can I say? I'm backslidden, okay? 2 Peter, chapter number 2. And starting in verse number 1. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in, watch this, damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, that means fake words, with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You come to church long enough, you know what we do? We preach about everything, you know, you come long enough, we'll preach about liquor and stuff like that, things you ought to stay away from, things that are not good for you. You know, you're smoking your cigarettes, you're taking your weed and snorting your cocaine, you know. You're a bunch of idiots frying your brains out, I'm telling you. Regardless what God says about the temple, just the medical facts that you know what those drugs do to you, you're an idiot for taking that stuff, man. But you know what's worse than that? Poisoning your soul. You know, we make a big thing because we're independent fundamental Baptists, old-fashioned Baptists. We make a big things about what sins are and how you ought to live a clean life and a pure life and stay away from the wrong crowd. You know what's worse than that, all that stuff? Believing a perversion is the word of God. Believing a man instead of what God said, and taking a man's word in a book instead of what God said. And you think just because they cloak themselves in a religious garb and they hold a title that says clergy, they're to be trusted. Haven't you read the papers in the last 10 or 20 years at all? I mean, there's rogue religious leaders just like there's rogue cops or rogue politicians. And we think just because somebody drapes themselves in religious garments or religious theology or religious wording, they're to be trusted. I'm telling you, you better trust what God says, not what man says. And everything, anytime any religious man says something, you better check it out with what God says. Because there are too many charlatans masquerading as pious religious professors and scholars who are purposely lying to God's people because of the love of money, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care if they're a deacon or a bishop or an elder or a reverend or a pastor or a minister or some scholar or philosopher. You better be careful what they're teaching. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Let's say I wrote a book in the year 1990. Psalm 12. Then I wanted to revise it or update it in the year 2000. I would either add the words revised or updated on the cover of the 2000 edition to differentiate which book you would be buying. Psalm 12, please. If 10 years later, in 2010, I wrote a third book, revising that book, if I was honest, I would put the words like new updated or newly revised version of the 1990 version, so that if you went into a bookstore and you asked for a title of the book that I authored, to differentiate 1990 from 2000 to 2010, you'd have to be specific which edition that you were requesting, because they would all be different books. Well, if that's true with an earthly author writing three different books, why don't you think it's true with 200 different authors writing their own version of the Word of God? Using that same argument. Do you realize the NIV is copyrighted? That means Rupert Murdoch owns the copyright to the NIV, and you cannot publish and print the NIV without his permission. The King James Bible is not copyrighted. Anybody is allowed to print and publish it as much as they want, because man did not author the Word of God. God did. And where the word of a king is, the Bible says in Proverbs, there is power. All the other versions, every single one outside the King James Bible, is copyrighted by a man because a man wrote it, because they wanted to make money out of it. Let's take it a step further. Let's read Psalm 12 here, verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. What are we talking about? What's God going to keep? His words, right? The NIV says God's going to preserve his people, but that's not what the Bible says. Yes, God will preserve his people, for the once saved, always saved, but this verse is specifically dealing with God's words that God has promised to preserve for how long? Look what it says. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That means that somewhere on planet Earth, there's a word of God for you to read, because God said he's preserved it forever. Take your Bible, please, turn to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Anybody know anything about leprechauns? Hey, look, we're talking about perversions. We might be talking about fairy tales too, okay? But, you know, leprechauns are not supposed to lie, or so goes the myth or legend, okay? Look, you teach your kids about Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. What do you want me to tell you? So anyway, as the legend goes, leprechauns cannot lie. It's impossible for a leprechaun to lie. So this young boy caught a leprechaun one day, and he forced him to reveal where the treasure was buried in the forest. And because leprechauns can't lie, the leprechaun led this boy to where the treasure was buried. And the kid was so thrilled, he took a yellow ribbon, tied it around the tree so he could remember which tree was next to the buried treasure. He ran home as fast as he could, singing and smiling and shouting, getting the shovel and coming right back to the forest. He came back to the forest with his shovel. You know what he found? Every single tree in the forest had a yellow ribbon tied around it. Well, that's exactly what Satan has done with the Word of God. He can't destroy the King James Bible. That's very obvious. He can't destroy it because it's God's Word. But you know what he can do? He can deceive the people's minds about where it is. And he can make it as difficult as he possibly can and make say, this tree is just the same, and this tree is just the same, and that tree is the same kind of tree, and this book's the same kind of book. They're all the same. Well, I tell you, two things that are different are not the same, ladies and gentlemen. Two things that are different are not the same. Matthew chapter number 4, and in verse number 4, Jesus says this. But he answered and said, he's talking to Satan too, by the way. You know when Satan was trying to tempt them in the wilderness there after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights? He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means the word of God that has been preserved forever in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, commands us that you and I are supposed to live by, not most of the words, every word. That means somewhere on planet Earth, somewhere, there is a book that contains every single word of God, or Jesus Christ is a liar. I'd rather believe Jesus than a religious leader. I'd rather believe God Almighty, what God said, than a professional speaker who happens to believe, be religious. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. If I can get through your thick skull, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, that the King James Bible is the Word of God, I'll have done my job. Because no matter where you end up, where you move, the most important thing in your life when you look for a church will be whether they believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. If you have just that, that'll do away with 95 to 98% of all the false churches that don't have the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. So if you just get this study down, you'll get the right kind of church, and you'll meet the right kind of people in the right kind of church, and you'll go the same direction that other people are going. They'll believe the same thing you believe. We'll be singing the same song. Hey, isn't it great when you go to a different state or a different country, we sing the same songs? Why is that? Because we have the same book. But today, you go to most evangelical churches, charismatic, you know what they do? They put everything up on the screen. They're bebopping to the music that I used to listen to in the 60s and 70s. And by the way, that was tame compared to what they're playing today. Today they got a hard rock and whatever they call it, you know, and it's like a long-haired hippie weirdo freak band over here, and the foul of the bouncing ball. Nobody has songbooks anymore because they don't have a King James Bible anymore. So the old-time religion is being flushed down the toilet. You know why? Because this book, listen to me, listen to this statement. This is the book that was in every single public school in America, nearly. One book. They didn't like the book, so they took the book out. And they've been trying to pump trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars into public schools, you think, to help them. No, they want trillions of dollars because the love of money is the root of all evil. They hated God, so they kicked God's book out of the school. Let me ask you a question. How were your public schools before 1961? How are the zoos today? How's the animal kingdom in the average public school today? You have to have police officers walking down the halls. You have metal detectors now. You have to have searches now. It's ridiculous. Teachers aren't even safe there. Well, kick God out, that's what you get. That's what you get. You think money is if I just had enough money, I have all my problems taken care of. No, other people. Did you hear about the banker just jumped off the building in New York City, committed suicide? Listen, I don't care how much money you got. Wealthy, well-to-do guy, they're all jumping off the building. You don't need money. You need God. You don't need a new job or new house or new boyfriend, new girlfriend. You need God. And you need the Word of God because the Word of God will tell you about God. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, in verse number 17, the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Notice it says, many corrupt the word of God. So the vast majority of religious people are going to corrupt the word of God because, look, You think, the first thing that comes to your mind is a person goes into religious work because he loves people. I don't believe that at all. I believe because it's one of the easiest jobs to get paid for.
You sit behind a desk, you smile, you give a good Jimmy Carter smile, you know? Yeah. You know, you cock your head a little bit and just act like the Pope, you know, and Santa Claus all wrapped up in one, you know? Ooh-goo. And the Pillsbury Doughboy, you know? You know? And you'll get lots of money, yeah. You get a nice salary, you know, a nice retirement, nice 401k, nice car, nice parsonage. You know what I'm talking about. My Bible says many will corrupt the word of God. I'd rather be in the sincere minority believing what God said from the word of God than be in the majority that would corrupt the very word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 13:25, he said, while men slept, their enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So while God's people are sleeping, the enemy comes, Satan comes, and he sows tares among the wheat. Because God's people were sleeping, they didn't realize what was going on. Since we're here, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. If I could just wake up 5 or 10 people who were sleeping before, that'll make up for the 5 or 10 people that will get mad at me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. You know what I do with my New American Standard Version? That thing cost me easy $18 to $20 in 1979 when I bought it. I took that thing, when I found out about the Word of God and the King James Bible, I took that thing and literally ripped it up and threw it away in the trash can, man. I don't want to have a perversion to study and to read and to memorize. I want the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Not a perversion. I want God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 13. For such are false apostles. You mean there's false apostles? Yeah, most of them that have apostolic on the signs, probably false, ladies and gentlemen. It says, for such are false apostles. And by the way, apostles are only people who were walking and living and sleeping and ministering with the Lord Jesus Christ when he was walking on the earth. Those are your apostles. The only exception to that was the apostle Paul, but the apostle Paul did see Jesus when he was caught up in the third heaven, for those of you who understand the scriptures. But verse number 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. All right, so here's it. You have religious ministers who stand today, and there's the majority of them. So we're not for the death penalty because that's so cruel. You know what? They're completely going contrary to what God says in the Bible. Oh, I think we ought to be vegans. We don't like killing animals. We're against hunting and we're against guns. Well, that's completely contrary to what God says in the Bible. So what you do is you take a religious, pious-looking man's opinion higher than what God says. And all of society suffers. Churches suffer. Churches have become effeminate today. Because they disregard what God. How in the world, God says that a bishop should be the husband of one wife. That's what God says in Timothy. It's kind of hard for a woman to be the husband of one wife. How in the world can a woman pastor a church if God says a bishop must be the husband? Well, when you go contrary to the word of God, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter what God says anymore. Do you realize when I got saved, I had to change and to mold myself and fit myself to what God wanted. Today, you know what people are doing? They're trying to change God and come up with other books to fit their lifestyle. Completely contrary to what God says. Contrary to what God says. That's why people get mad when I talk about, you know, anything. If you got a King James Bible, you'll read what God says, amen. If you get mad at the preacher, you get mad at God at the same time. Because I'm showing you Bible verses, chapters and verses of what God says, ladies and gentlemen. If I cannot show you a chapter and verse, then don't worry about it. In all he did, in all he taught, he kept this aim in sight. To get the deeds of darkness done, disguised as works of light. He spread his poison slow and sure through many specious sects, and made the evil seem the good, bamboozling God's elect. And that's what's happened today. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Chapter number 5.
We're almost done. Can you believe that? Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 26. Here's what God said. This is what God said. Moses had to fight Korah. Every single man of God written in the Old Testament, New Testament had to fight false apostles and false religious leaders who were bucking their preaching of the very word of God. Jeremiah 5, verse 26. For among my people, not the heathen, God's people. He said, for among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. Do you believe Satan does that? If you believe that, then you'd be looking for these snares. And the Bible says the word of God is the light to show you where the snares and the traps are so that you don't step in these traps and you're hurt for the rest of your life. Jeremiah chapter number 23, please. I'm sorry, the same chapter, chapter 5, verse 31. Chapter 5, verse 31. The prophets prophesy what? Falsely. And the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? What are you going to do at the end when you die? Shock. News shock. When you die, you're going to meet God. You're going to meet the God who wrote this book. And for those of you who are here this morning, you're going to have absolutely no excuse for what you're hearing. And when God says, well, how come you didn't believe what I said? Forget the preacher. Why didn't you believe what I said in the Word of God? And you believe some religious vain man, and you ruined your life, and you went completely opposite and contrary to what I wanted you to do. This is why people, I'm telling you, you know why the divorce rate's so high? Because people don't know how to have a relationship with people. They don't know how to deal with people. They don't know what God says. You know why people are going bankrupt at a record percentage today? People don't know how to handle their money. All you got to do is read the book of Proverbs, ladies and gentlemen. Just the book of Proverbs to have some financial wisdom, as long as the King James Bible, you'll be okay. Amen. You'll be okay. But we lay it aside. We're not concerned about spiritual matters. My Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. I'm not concerned what somebody else is doing next door neighbor across the fence. I'm really not concerned what people are doing across the street in their own home. I am not concerned about it at all. My concern is the house of God. My concern is what God's people are listening to and what God's people are learning. Jeremiah chapter 23. Watch this. Jeremiah 23. Again, this is going to be a 5 or 6 part series, so I can't get all of it in this morning, but this is the foundation for what I'm going to be teaching. Jeremiah 23, verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. That's why we don't like preachers, because, you know, preaching is uncomfortable sometimes when you're preaching against controversial things or sinful things. Guess what? We're all sinners. We all need preaching. We all need conviction. Look at verse number 30. Jeremiah 23, verse number 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Any English-speaking religious leader that does not believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God is a liar, ladies and gentlemen. And that tells me that anybody who sits under their hearing or their teaching is willing to listen to a liar give them spiritual advice and spiritual counsel.
Take your Bible, please, and turn to 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. This is the clincher verse, in my estimation, when dealing with religious liars when it comes to the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Now, if I were to ask you, who killed Goliath? Saved or lost? Religious or irreligious? I would dare say that 95 to 98% of everybody in this room would shoot up their hands and say, "Pastor, I know who killed Goliath. It's obvious." Right? You would think. But the NIV says otherwise. 2 Samuel 21, verse number 19. "And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan the son of Jeorigam, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam." Now, you know, in 1 Samuel 17, that David killed Goliath. Every child, just we talk about, even lost people talk about the story of David and Goliath, you know, the underdog. I like rooting for an underdog. It's a David and Goliath story, amen? I like hearing stories about people fighting City Hall. That's a David and Goliath story. But in this verse here, 2 Samuel 21, verse number 19, the NIV, if you have an NIV on you today, you can look at it with your own God-given eyeballs. They have taken out the italic words in this verse because they say the italic words were not in the original and thus they're not part of Scripture. So let's read this verse as the NIV states it without the italicized words. "And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jeorigam, a Bethlehemite, slew Goliath the Gittite." That's what the NIV states in their own printed version. Now, I got to tell you something. I showed that verse to so many people, countless numbers of people that had an NIV. And they scratched their head like this. I'm not kidding you. They're scratching their head. They're looking at it and says, "I never saw that before." Because you know what? They don't have a Bible that they read. They don't have a Word of God that they read. And they take the word of a liar and a publisher who's out to make money, puts the word, prints the words Holy Bible on the outside of a black leather book to make you think if you pay $50 or $100 for this book, you'll have the Word of God. That's what they make merchandise of you, the Bible says. Now, if the NIV is wrong on who killed Goliath, are they wrong about your soul too? Do you know that a Sodomite was on the board, the revision board, the editorial board that wrote the NIV? And that could be the reason why the word Sodomite is never found in the NIV. Do you think? So when they look at you and say, "Well, you people with the King James Bible, you know, that's all you say." Well, it's because you don't say anything in your book, because it's not the Word of God. And so now there's factions and divisions that there never was. Do you realize the King James Bible was printed in 1611? That's a long track record. That's over 400 years from 1611 to 2015. The next English version came out in the year 1901, the Revised Version. From 1901 until present, there's been over 200 other perversions that had been printed. And they came out, "Well, this is a newly one. This is a new one. This is the revised one. This is the updated one. This is a new one. This is the newer one." And they keep going, you know, like brands of soap, you know. The new and improved. But they're getting worse and worse. But we still have the same old book for over 400 years. But Satan has done a good job of bamboozling God's people who have been sleeping and not caring, who are too self-centered in their own lives to be concerned about what God said. God said in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, to me, it's very clear that Revelation 22 says, don't add and don't subtract. A third grader understands that. But because people have gone to seminary and they got a college degree from a religious institution, they think they have the authority now to change God Almighty's words, and you believe them. You think because they're a master of divinity now and they got these plaques on their walls, that means they know more than God does, and you believe them. So they tell you, you don't need to be born again. There's no such thing as fire in hell. And you don't really believe that Jesus is God, and that's just a man-made religion. You know, you don't know who wrote that stuff. And they parrot all these phrases one after another because they don't even have a book themselves that they believe in. Well, then the argument says, well, those verses in Revelation are only for the book of Revelation. Well, I got news for you. Proverbs chapter number 30, verse 5 and 6 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And then in Deuteronomy 4, verse number 2, God said, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So in the first five books of the Bible, God says, don't add or subtract. In Proverbs, right in the middle of the Bible, God says, don't add. In the last chapter of the very last book in the Bible, Revelation 22, God says, don't add or subtract. You would think if you took any time to read the word of God, you would get the message, don't add and don't take away from the word of God. But people who are religious, who are edumacated now, who have their noses up in the air and think that you're like a lower class of people, that the clergy are smarter than you are, that you have to come to us now for wisdom and for the truth. No, we need to go to God for truth. Because God is truth, the Bible says. Man is a sinner. That's the question, where are you going to go when you die? Have you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul? Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, he said. Not forget the verse, and forget even for now the word. He said even a jot or a tittle. It's important, more than you think it is, ladies and gentlemen. This subject this morning is going to impact the rest of your life. Take your Bible, turn to Jude. We're almost done. Right before Revelation, the second to the last book in the Bible, Jude. And I'll be done. Good morning, Raymond. It's good to see you this morning, Raymond. Hey, Raymond, where did you serve in the military? God bless you, sir. Appreciate your service, Raymond. Jude, verses 3 and 4. That's why these religious people are against militaries. They're against you defending yourself because they don't have the word of God. Jude, verse number 3 and 4. Watch this. Jude, verses 3 and 4. Hold on, Raymond. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And here's the reason why. For there are certain men crept in into the churches now, into God's people's gatherings. Not the world, not the heathen, in our circles. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as you read the next verses, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. It's one of my jobs to warn you. Now, I know this is not the normal Sunday morning sermon on your heart, on difficulties in life. I would prefer preaching those kind of sermons. I really do. I want to help people spiritually
and dealing with problems, personal problems, and I like doing that. But I can't forsake God and not teach a truth that is the foundation for everything else I've ever preached. Because if the foundation is crumbling and rotting and breaking apart, then everything else that's built upon is going to eventually fall, ladies and gentlemen. If I can get you to believe that this King James Bible is the Word of God, I promise you God will bless you for the rest of your life. I don't care where you end up. I don't care where you go. You'll hear the same kind of preaching in another church from God's book. But if you want to be your own God, you're going to decide what you think is right instead of what God, then you're going to make you're going to fashion in your mind your own little God. Well, this is what I think God is like. No, 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 ladies and gentlemen, no. You know how God is like? Exactly how he says. Exactly how he says. He loves you. He said, I'll tell you what, that lady, 5'2", maybe 85 pounds dripping wet, had more courage in 1978 to give me a gospel tract than 99% of all Baptist preachers today, to say the truth. That lady realized I was a sinner on my way to hell, and she gave me a gospel tract and took a King James Bible and showed me how to be saved. She had more courage and more boldness and more concern for my soul than 99% of all Baptists. Forget the evangelicals. I'm talking about just Baptists right now. She had more courage and more boldness than 98% to 99% of all Baptist preachers. And she was honest with me. I was taken aback. I'll be honest with you. I was kind of offended. What are you talking about? I'm not that bad. I'm a sinner going to hell. What are you talking about? I've never robbed any banks or I've never killed anybody. Who does she think she is? She was somebody that cared for my soul. Hey, I'm not saying this morning because I'm mad at you. I'm saying this morning because I care about your soul. I don't know where you're going to end up. I don't know who you're going to marry. I don't know where you're going to live. I don't know what kind of church you're going to go to in the future, 5, 10, 20 years from now. But I want God Almighty to bless you wherever you go. And if you got this book and you got this thing down pat, I promise you, God Almighty will bless you. And he'll give you insight and wisdom that you never thought possible. But you got to believe that this book is the Word of God first. Because all wisdom and all knowledge comes from God, ladies and gentlemen. Let's all stand, shall we?